Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and it is my pleasure to introduce to you today Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 40 years. Today's topic is entitled, The Heart is the Core of the Being. In this series, we look at subjects revolving around spirituality, and we ask you, the viewer, to specifically ask yourself what your relationship with God is and how you can deepen your understanding of that which is most meaningful to you as a person. We ask also to look at whether there is a balance between your inner and your outer world. Sister Denise, very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. The heart is the core of the being. Even the title sounds so beautiful. It leaves a beautiful taste in one's mouth. The heart is not something we think about until there's a problem, isn't it?
The heart is the most sensitive part. And when we say heart is the core of the being, we're not really looking at the organ in the body which pumps our blood around, which is anyway extremely sensitive, but we're looking at a different kind of heart, the very core of our very being. And it is said in India, look into the mirror of your heart. And it's a very beautiful thing to explore the heart as a mirror in which you see the deepest, most fragile, most sensitive part of the soul.
Sister Denise, given the state that the world is in, what is the condition of humanity as a whole as far as their feelings are concerned? Are they in a good state? Are they in a bad state? And why is it that people are now so disrespectful of other people's feelings?
There are so many reasons, but you know, when you are looking at that that core part, that heart, it is extremely protected because it is so sensitive and so fragile. So most people, their heart is kept in a space which resembles more like Fort Knox, because people's hearts are so barricaded in against the possibility of any invasion or any hurt or any breakage or something like this. So, I mean, it has caused people's hearts to be very isolated from each other. And there's a lot of problems to, you know, open up the heart. It's very difficult to get a person to open their heart, because when you open the heart, it's like a very fragile flower, and it can be crushed so easily, broken, destroyed, shattered. So this is why people have created this condition of, you know, ice and stone and barbed wire and rock and so many layers of protection that you can hardly access your own heart.
How does one penetrate all of those layers in order to get to the real you? I assume the heart of the being is the real you.
Yes, I think so. I think it's very difficult because a lot of people are going around with frozen heart. And so so sensitive, but frozen and so insensitive. A frozen heart resembles also a stone heart. So sometimes people are insensitive to each other's feelings because of this frozen, stone, buried situation. And how to penetrate it is a very, very delicate melting operation.
So, Sister Denise, somebody who comes across as being cold, it means what? It says what about them?
It says that their heart probably is broken, smashed, brutalized, dehumanized, and so that is their defense. It is their survival. And it's almost impossible to cause someone like that to be able to melt enough to come back to their original fragile, gentle, delicate reality.
I can see so. So we have all different types of people in the world. You get those who wear their heart on their sleeve, which means somebody who is easily able to express their feelings. You will see their feelings on their face.
They will show too much.
Okay.
And so not a good idea, because, I mean, a certain amount of discretion is appropriate. You know, there's a certain decorum that's needed, and if you're, you know, totally out there for anyone and anything, it's also somehow not quite right.
That's true. Somebody who's spiritually aware is a sign of spiritual awareness, protection of the heart?
No, I think that you come to your spiritual practice, you acquire some degree of spiritual awareness, and then you begin to have to deal with your heart, because some sort of a melting begins to happen, the heart begins to move. Sometimes you get people who, when they experience spiritual connection with God, they just fall into floods of tears and they cannot understand why. But it is as if that frozen doorway had melted and allowed the heart to breathe, to come alive. And so it comes with that that flood of tears, which is overwhelming for the person. Then they just never expect it, but it does happen quite a bit.
Okay. So, Sister Denise, the bottom line for many people watching you right now is that you're aware that you're damaged. I once heard it said that every single person on the planet is damaged, and the only question is to what degree. Okay?
Yes, I would agree.
You would agree. Okay, so spirituality, from what I heard you say in other episodes, is a journey of self-discovery, but also self-repair. How do you, who have become aware of how damaged the heart is, go about repairing the heart?
Well, it's not like repairing a washing machine or a car or something like this. It's very deep, it's very delicate, and you just need to take time. And so I think patience is a very, very important quality, because your heart, it's almost like another person, though it is the real you, but the false you is someone else, you know, and the false self approaching the real self is going to say, well, I don't know about this, you know. The heart is like water. Water, the surface of water, when it's still, reflects. And so whatever is the reality of the heart can be seen and touched when it's still. But because the heart is so damaged, it's like inflamed or wounded, and so if you start to, you know, maybe take off the bandages, once you got hurt, you would have quickly thrown some bandages on and forgot about it. That means that the wound in the heart is maybe festering, infected, all of this, so that as soon as you start to open it up, that's where you start to feel the pain of a broken heart. So the repairing process is a kind of spiritual surgery, you see. So you have to go at it very, very gently, very, very carefully, because you don't want to do any more damage.
Do you enlist help from the outside? I do not mean from God. We'll get to that now. I mean from other human beings to repair the damage.
I think there are quite a few people who do, and there are quite a lot of people who have done work on themselves, who find themselves in a position where they can help other people. Quite a lot of the psychiatric and psychological modalities and therapies are designed to help in that way. But eventually, the heart is really the core of the soul. And so once you get past the psychological area, you go to the spiritual area, because you're going to the actual spirit of the being. And the spirit is damaged, wounded. It may have some shrapnel in there, so that has to be very carefully removed. People talk about, you know, a knife in the heart, which could come from hurtful words, which could come from behaviors. Sometimes a person has abandoned their own selves, and so you have the lonely heart and the buried heart, all of these type of situations that start to become clear as you open up all of this protection and protective layers, you see. So when you want to do that kind of work on yourself, a very beautiful way can be through music, which is a non-verbal communication, through untrained sounds, because the cry of anguish of the heart can be expressed, you know, physically through a sound that you make, which will help you to understand what this is.
I heard an expression once which I quite liked. It went, music is what feelings sound like.
Well, yes. And if you can work with an instrument or with the voice to represent that which is unspeakable, you know, because once you put something into words, you feel, oh, it's much more intense than that. So to express it is a very healing part. You need to do visitations of your heart. Try to write automatic writing, lucid dreaming, because you see, all of these things, they live in the subconscious. And your heart may be a layer below your subconscious, you know. So it's very, very deep, very difficult to actually make contact with. And the heart is very shy and doesn't come out so easily.
What should your relationship be with yourself in order to facilitate an internal atmosphere of healing?
I think it has to be very intense, deep, and passionate love. I think you need to love yourself with the intensity with which you love God, and then something can happen.
Okay, I find that interesting because people tend to, whether they love themselves or not, reserve their passion for others and not necessarily for themselves.
But then it's not integrated, you see.
Where does narcissism fit into this picture?
Well, that's a form of ego. It's another mask, you know, it's another false thing. It's way on the surface. And here we're talking about going deep down to the depths of the being. So heart is there, deep.
So, Sister Denise, if somebody embarks on a spiritual journey, is healing that which is broken your number one priority?
I suppose that you deal with what's going on as it goes, as it appears in front of you. So obviously that'll mean that you look at the obvious, the surface things, and you may become aware that there are deeper issues and you may be able to discern that they exist. But I think that the journey of spirituality is a journey in. And I think that as the years go by, your perception of your heart will change. Because, you know, just because of the fact that you're on a spiritual journey is anyway, even if indirectly, work on the heart. Every time you have a really successful meditation, every time you do an act of charity, every time you allow yourself to receive love, every time you allow yourself to get touched by God, each little thing makes your heart more and more whole. And as the heart becomes whole, it becomes more accessible to you, and slowly you go there.
Tell us how God fits into this picture. Specifically, how does God help to repair that which is damaged within the human psyche?
Well, in a way, you can look at it as contamination.
Oh, sorry, what is contamination?
The problem in the heart.
Contaminated by what?
Contaminated by cruelty, by disappointment, by all of the different negative experiences, negative emotions. They act like a pollution because the reality of the heart, or the true heart, is a pure heart. And that pure heart gets contaminated by impure experiences. And so the process of, you know, getting deep into the core of your being is a process of purification. And purification, where there has been contamination, sometimes involves, you know, pulling out that which is really horrible from the heart. And so the heart has to let go of, like, a squid that has taken over, or a poison that has permeated the whole thing. So these sort of process of extraction sometimes involves feelings of anguish and feelings of dying and feelings of burning and so many things, where you are in a sense in a state of passionate love for God, which removes the passion of violence or anger or betrayal or any of these negative forms of passion that went in there and seared the heart and contaminated it or distorted it or broke it so that the note of the pure sound can no longer sound because of the crack.
Sister Denise, I once heard you say that the sign of an developed intellect is a damaged heart. It's a form of compensation. Do you still hold that view? Did I understand you correctly? Do you still hold that
that's
view?
That's very true. It can be, because you will do something to compensate. And, I mean, everybody does have compensating behaviors.
Give us examples of what is compensating behavior in this context.
I think if you don't want anyone to go near your heart, you will distract them by focusing on your intelligence so that they forget to go there. Something like this is tactic. You know, to protect, the heart.
So such a person literally lives in their head?
There are many who live in their head, because to go in your heart is too painful. I mean, it's very good to go there, but it's also very painful. So you need to be able to manage that state of anguish, which is a gateway that allows you to go in and then, you know, find yourself with your heart and then slowly come out, bringing your heart with you to the surface of your being, so that you can actually be integrated with your heart, your intelligence, your being. But, you know, I think that is really the goal of your whole spiritual practice, and it may take you decades to reach that point, but that is a great achievement.
To become whole and to fix the broken pieces.
And to become one with your heart. You see, because
to become one with
you
your heart.
Separate from your heart, you abandon your heart because you cannot bear, so that becomes the false ego. And the false ego can be expressed through intellectual prowess, no problem.
Tell us the other ways that the ego comes into play when you have a damaged heart. What does it, does the ego in a sense work as your protection?
Well, it's a mask. It's a shield, you see.
Okay.
And so the thing about the ego is it has to be taken down, but it won't come down because the heart is too vulnerable. And so behind the ego, you have to work on building up the heart, restoring the heart to its pure state. And as that process happens, the ego can be allowed to come down. So it's both things happening together.
And Sister Denise, irrespective of how damaged the heart is, you're saying that if somebody is committed to healing, they can become whole again?
Well, of course, because the heart is the core of your soul. Your soul is eternal and immortal, so it has to be made whole. There's no exemption, there's no possibility of not. The question is how you do it, and you do it, or you let it get done to you, which is not such a good idea, because then it's more painful.
How does your relationship with other people affect your heart, in the sense that if you're a good and kind-hearted person, then you're drawing, in terms of the law of karma, good back to you. If it is in your nature to be cruel and sadistic, what does that do to your own heart, not the object of your sadism?
Well, it's going to make your heart freeze over even more and become even more stone and even less accessible to you. So you're betraying yourself more and more until, I suppose, you finally try to destroy yourself. But because the soul is eternal and immortal, you know, the ultimate point that you have to come to is you have to stand in front of God, who will act as a very intense fire and melt all of your protection. And then you start to feel the pain of who you are, who you have become. So you don't want that.
Ouch. Denise, you stated earlier that loneliness is somebody who abandoned themselves. That's a very curious definition. I've never heard it described like that before. Tell us more about that.
You know, the thing that happens to your heart, that happens to you, when you break away from yourself and identify and fuse with the ego mask, which is your cover, that is where you say to yourself, you, real self, you don't exist. Now, I'm the self. and I'm the real one. But it's not true.
Mm.
This is where you abandon yourself.
Okay. Depression is a very common phenomena globally. I'm not talking about situational depression where something happens and you feel depressed as a result thereof and you heal. I'm talking about an all-pervading sense of low, feeling of sorrow, something that you can't get out of, feeling that follows you all the time. How do you heal that? How do you put that right?
You see, if you're talking about something like clinical depression, then that's a medical condition. You know, it's been classified like that. And so there you have to take a look at what the medical industry will provide you with. And maybe if you can work through the medical presentation of your depression to a point where your clinician says, okay, now we've done what we can from the medical side. Now what you need to do is take a look at your spiritual side. And at that point, there may be something that could be very helpful. But one caveat that I would say is that if a person is diagnosed with a mental illness, with clinical depression, then it's better to work with the medical practitioners and get to a point where they will say, okay, now you're sort of out of danger from a medical angle, and now you can start to build yourself up through maybe some psychological work and ultimately your spiritual work. But you have to be a little bit careful, and even we would go as far as to say that you should not meditate if you are diagnosed with a medical illness or psychosis, because it can trigger an episode.
Can we go to part two of the same subject?
Yeah.
Okay. Sister Denise, thank you so much for sharing what you did today. This is such a riveting subject that I've now decided we have to have Heart is the Core of the Being part two. So we will see you shortly where we can continue this amazing subject. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a fascinating subject, so fascinating that we are going to do part two of the same episode. And I hope you've taken notes, because Sister Denise's message is, irrespective of your damage, you can heal, provided that you are committed to yourself in order to heal. So we will see you soon. Thank you for now, and goodbye.